The Rolling Stones and Emotional Rescue. So we know that the Queen was in town today, and I suspect that my colleague Tony Gosling has a thing or two to say about that.
About the Queen?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily call myself a monarchist or Republican, but I think it's important that you've got a family of people that you really have faith in and can trust. And I'm afraid with the royal family, I'm talking particularly about Charles and the Queen, there are all sorts of serious questions about this family and whether they're the sort of people you would want actually to have in your living room and would trust in what we would consider the normal sense. The main one, really, is the visit this year of the President of Sri Lanka to London. I mean, this guy, difficult to pronounce his name, Ramaphosa, I think is okay. The chap's name.
Is he a bit dodgy?
He's responsible for the deaths of around about 40,000 people in Sri Lanka over the last 4 or 5 years.
Right.
There's been a civil war there which has really been going on for decades with the Tamils and the Sinhalese. The Sinhalese are the sort of the people that are approved of by the president, and the Tamils were the so-called rebels. I mean, there's an ethnic conflict going on. Around about 2007, 2008, there was quite a clear decision made, 2009 as well, to end this conflict by any means necessary.
Right.
And that meant that there was basically a war on civilians, because the Tamils drew their support from a civilian, ordinary population. And the artillery, military equipment, rockets, all sorts of stuff was used against civilian villages. Death squads were sent in to Tamil areas. And because of the slaughter, the UN said, you've got to have safe zones in the country where civilians can go to, where they know they're not going to get the military coming in and mowing down their villages. And as a result,
well, wouldn't
of this,
it be better to make the whole country a safe zone, though?
Well, look, let's make the world a safe zone, yeah? Come on.
But the point is, if it's the government themselves who are causing the massacre, then it's a bit sort of stupid to say, well, just make a safe zone.
Well, no. I mean, this is the UN saying, look, OK, we understand you've got a civil war going on, but there needs to be places that civilians can go to where they know they're not going to be killed. Anyway, they created safe zones, two or three of them in Sri Lanka, and they promptly started shelling the safe zones.
Right.
So this is an appalling regime. I mean, let's not forget, of course, that Sri Lanka was Ceylon, was part of the British Empire. The Queen still owns vast areas of land. That's a whole other subject. Yeah, yeah. The Queen is the biggest landowner on the planet.
Pull it back a bit, though. Okay, generally, so you're saying that the Queen is associating with dodgy dictators, but surely, you know, the Queen doesn't really have much choice in the matter. She's a sort of neutral figurehead. It's more a government issue rather than a Queen issue,
okay,
isn't it?
Let's address this whole business of, is the Queen a figurehead, or is the Queen, does she get involved in politics? Mm. She clearly does get involved in politics. We've had a revelation from the BBC a few weeks ago, Frank Gardner, who's the royal correspondent, explaining that the Queen was directly lobbying David Blunkett when he was Home Secretary to arrest Abu Hamza, and saying, why hasn't this guy yet been arrested? So she has to make her mind up. Is she just a figurehead, or is she intervening in politics?
Okay, but look, what I'm saying is, was she actually lobbying, or was she just asking? You know, what are the details of what she asked David Blunkett?
She was lobbying Blunkett. This is what Frank Gardner said. Why is Abu Hamza still walking the streets? Why hasn't he yet been arrested? What, can't we find something to arrest him for?
I can imagine that's a very political statement. It is a political statement, but I can imagine that happening as a kind of a conversation. You know, the Queen is just saying, well, why is this guy, why haven't we arrested this guy? Rather than actually any serious lobbying attempt. You know, do we know it's not just her asking the question, trying to be, you know, a bit better informed about politics?
He is a minister of the crown.
Yeah.
He's the person to servant, ask. Yeah, right? Yeah. So when someone says to you, why hasn't this guy been arrested yet? I mean, there is certainly an implication there that if you don't do something, you're going to lose your job, chum. There is. The other thing, of course, is the regular conversations, secret conversations that the Queen has every Wednesday, which she would have had one yesterday, with the Prime Minister.
Yeah.
I mean, so I think we really need to decide if we're going to have a figurehead royal family, figurehead crown, or we're going to have these kind of secret interference going on behind the scenes. And that's what I disagree with. I've got absolutely no problem with the Queen being some kind of, you know, sort of token figurehead. But when she starts intervening in politics, there is a serious problem there, and a conflict of interest. And what she's trying to do is hide behind that. And I mentioned briefly that business about, we didn't quite finish talking about Sri Lanka, because the Ramaphosa, who's the president, was invited to a big slap-up meal in London, and there was big protest by the Tamil community and by also people from all over that part of the world in London, saying, you know, this guy is getting a slap on the back from the Queen. All she needs to do is to say, you know, your human rights record is precludes you from taking part in this, you know.
Yeah, but she couldn't say that publicly, party. Could she?
Well, yes, she can. Of course she can.
Well, that would be her being overtly political.
Are you saying that she's bringing these despots from other parts of the world in order to lobby them to be nice people?
No. What I'm saying is the government arranged these deals, and she can't publicly say, I don't like this guy.
Maybe she can say it not publicly. Well, yeah, but anyway,
perhaps she did.
It is effectively a pat on the back for mass murder. And that's why people are questioning, you know, what is going on with... I think, you know, everyone would respect her if she was discriminating in some way between decent regimes and despotic regimes. And that would be a really good signal to the entire public that it was well worthwhile having a monarchy.
But we know that the government wants to deal with dodgy dictators because they sell arms or whatever, you know. I mean, we deal with China, which is a dictator.
But we sell... If we can make money, it seems that human rights go out the window. Exactly. The Queen is really going along with that, isn't she?
Yeah, but that's the point I'm getting at. That's her job, isn't it? If the government is going to deal with dodgy dictators, then the Queen's got to go along with it, hasn't she? She can object in private, but publicly she's got to go along with it.
Has she?
Well, I think so. Anyway, listen, let's just actually have an interview. Not an interview with the Queen, but Christina Rubino's been out and about and sort of following the Queen all this morning. So here's her latest report.
Hi, this is Christina Rubino reporting for BCFM 93.2, live from the Royal Visit, King Street, the Bristol Old Vic. It's been an amazing morning, and surprising for me, actually, because I've done other royal events, and what I found most surprising is the crowd has been so quiet. It wasn't a huge crowd, and the most exciting moment for them came when the Queen came out of the Old Vic and was greeted by what looked like young naval volunteers and also children from the local primary school. But again, she didn't walk the crowd, and there were many people there with flowers, hoping that she would do the rails and that they could present them. So a pretty subdued crowd, but a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for us, Andy Dent and myself, BCFM, to get some real kind of good interviews and also to hear what people had to say. And there was many elderly people in the crowd that came from right across Bristol and South Gloucester, very, very excited. It's the first time they'd seen the Queen. The team from the Old Vic looked absolutely thrilled to bits. So all in all, it was a very good royal visit. But as I said, the thing that I found surprising was the fact that the crowd was so quiet. When the security guys pulled in front of the Old Vic so the crowd couldn't see the Queen, there was a huge amount of booing, and the security guys, great sense of humour, played around with that and kept moving back and forth, moving the vehicles back and forth. So you went from hurrah to boo, hurrah to poo, all the way through. But all in all, I think the residents of King Street, the local businesses, they all turned out. The people that came, yep, really pleased. And there's a fair amount of people here from Hartcliffe, Withywood, and they're following the whole kind of trip over to Emshed now, and then they're going on to Hartcliffe to catch the Queen there. So, yep, our reporter Andy Dent's just walked in, actually. Andy and I have been covering this morning, and his first word when he came through the door was, brilliant. I think it was brilliant. So this is Christina Rubino for BCFM 93.2, covering the Royal Village.
Thank you, Christina. That was recording, obviously, a few minutes ago. But Tony, you were laughing during that, weren't you?
Well, it's quite... it is amusing, isn't it, that the crowd is a little bit sort of thin. Yeah. The people who've been bussed in are the Navy and primary school children. I think it's just, you know, it reflects... I think we're living in pretty much a Republican city, really, that we're not great fans of the monarchy in Bristol. I think you'd probably say even go back as far as the Civil War. Detroit, we've always been seen as a very independent-minded city, and both back in the 1600s, you know, when Cromwell was fighting the king, basically we went with the flow as a city. You know, right, we thought, okay, looks like the king's winning, right, we're on the king's side. Oh, no, Cromwell's winning, we're on Cromwell's side now. And the whole idea of the idea of some kind of central control from London didn't really go down too well in Bristol. I don't think it ever has. You know, the other thing, of course, about the Queen is she's German.
Yeah, well, of German descent, the
Saxe-Coburg-Gotha family which for any students of history would probably be interested to know that it was the Duke of Saxe-Coburg-Gotha that sponsored a guy called Adam Weishaupt, who was the founder of this famous Bavarian Illuminati all the way back in the late 1700s, which was at the time was a massive controversy. I mean, it's a long time ago, but it was almost like the sort of MP's expenses scandal. It was all over the papers here in Britain in the late 1700s, what papers there were. So she goes back a long way. Also, Prince Charles likes to think of himself as one of his ancestors was Count Dracula. Well, not actually Count Dracula, but Vlad the Impaler. And he's even been over to the castle to visit the castle. It's a great little article on the BBC website about Prince Charles's visit to his ancestor Dracula's castle, and to celebrate the fact that this guy was part of the lineage of the British royal family.
Excellent. Well, I've got the perfect tune to play now, and you can guess what it is. It's the Sex Pistols.